Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
We want to welcome Pastor Judith. We had a brilliant time yesterday in a Leaders' Day with all the wider leadership in the church here, and a really excellent time of training and equipping. And I know this morning she's got a word from God for us, and so it's going to be hot, and you've got to be on the edge of your seat, and we want to be the most responsive people that Pastor Judith has ever preached to. Are you ready? So we're going to be alive and kicking. We're going to amen. We're going to yes. We're going to pull everything out of her. Is that right? So let's stand, shall we? And let's welcome Pastor Judith as she brings the word today.
Praise God. It's great to be here. It's wonderful to be and to see you. I don't think I've seen you as a church for many years come together, and it's just so exciting and such a great dynamic here. Just what God, the testimonies of the life of the Spirit is just so wonderful. And so it's a pleasure for me to be here. I trust you will find it a pleasure to listen to me and that you will hear the Lord. And please take your seats. I'd like to thank Pastor Clive for inviting me, because he must be a man of great faith. And also, I think that you let it slip about the next True Series book, and it's called True Grit. I'm sure it was prophetic. Part of the True Series, True Grit. I thought that was very good, so there we go. Yes, I believe the Lord has put something really strong on my heart for you. It's a very simple word, but often the most simple words are the most powerful. Jesus is alive. It's simple, but it's powerful. So I just really pray that what I have on my heart will be downloaded today. 2010 is a year of advance. It's a year of seeing the reign of the kingdom of heaven. God really put it on our hearts at the beginning of the year that we are going to see an amazing manifestation of the rule and the reign of God through the church. Because we're called to rule and reign in life. And I don't know if you ever receive a word from God and the challenge comes in immediately against that word. Jesus, when he received, you know, the anointing of the Spirit, and whenever you receive and start to speak the word, the enemy comes against that word. Did God really say? Puts doubt either on your circumstances or on your identity, who you are, what God wants to do with your life. And so when you have a word from God, you almost know that it's going to be challenged and tested. And so there is a dynamic that happens in our lives that we need to pull out of our hearts, out of our spirits, the kingdom victory, the life of the reign of God, and really see God's reign overcome the circumstances. And at the turn of the year, the other pastor in the church, Pastor Andrea, and her husband David, really good friends of mine, really strong couple in God, they just exchanged on their new home. And they've only been married, 2-3 years now. And they were really excited. You know when you get a new house? I don't know if any of you moved into a new house. It's a very exciting thing. You get your keys. They completed on the 7th of January. And in the evening, kind of, they picked up the keys about 5:30, had tea, and they decided, David actually said to Andrea, let's go and dedicate the house to the Lord. And so that was, they couldn't do anything. It was late at night. Of course, it was very cold, wasn't it? Early January. And they went to dedicate the house to the Lord. They opened the door and they could hear water like a waterfall. So they heard this water. It's coming crashing right through. The ceilings are down. There's been a burst tank in the loft. And they've just received a house that looks, in the natural, absolutely, it was an absolute horrible mess. And, of course, they try and find when it's a new house, you can't remember where the stopcock is or how to turn the water off, where the mains, and you don't put the electricity on, by the way, just in case you might have a little bit of an encouraging shock. And what do you do? God has promised to bless us. He's promised to provide for us. And at that point, the challenge is everything doesn't look too good. But they were insured. But the trouble was the insurance company from the people that sold the house and their insurance company started to fight over who was going to pay. Has anybody ever been in a fight situation where insurance companies are battling it out? Of course, nobody wants to pay, do they? And they, as a couple, were really seeking God, praying, and it was a very stressful time because they were supposed to move. They had to find somewhere else. They had to carry on letting where they were, renting where they were, and it's just a huge shock. And especially when your heart is involved in coming into your dream home and making it nice, it just had a really negative effect on them as a couple. And we had an encounter night one Sunday evening in January, pretty soon, a week or so after this, and the insurance companies, both of them were saying, we won't pay, because they couldn't prove when the leak started. And there was just absolutely no movement on this insurance deal. And in the encounter night, Andrea just really met with the Lord, and she just sat there and said, Lord, I just need you to speak to me. And how many of you know that that's the beginning of your victory? Hearing God. It's the start of overcoming. And she heard God say to her, if you could see what I see, you'd be laughing right now. Isn't that a great word from God? If you could see what I could see, you'd be laughing. I mean, in any situation any of us are facing today, if you could see what I could see, you'd be laughing. I could finish there, but I'm not going to. And I believe that from that moment, God began to work because faith came into her heart. And she left that encounter night with faith in what God was going to do. He was going to turn it around. Somehow, it was going to end up good. And you know, the mind tries and reasons how. But with the heart, we believe. We cannot enter the things that God wants to do with our minds. They've just got to catch up with the word of faith. They've just got to be renewed. And just accept the simplicity of one word from God. Because one word equals turnaround. One word equals a complete change. And she decided, you know, they have loss adjusters. And I actually said, you know, we need to change that. It's going to be a blessing adjustment. Change your confession. It's a blessing adjuster. And we started to speak very differently. You know, we're going to laugh. It's going to be a great outcome. Come on, let's just begin to enjoy and watch what God's going to do. And so she had to call the blessing adjuster one day. And she kind of got a bit kind of strong. And she can get very strong. And she began to speak like, you know, with strength, with conviction, with a righteous cause. And saying, well, you know, none of this is right anyway. I was insured and, you know. And she kind of railed at him a little bit, nicely, in the spirit, but she railed. There's a right way to rail. And the guy actually said, oh, Mrs. Aspinall, you really needed to get that off your chest, didn't you? But he said, your insurance company have decided to pay everything. A completely new interior, which they wouldn't have in the natural have afforded without what happened. Yeah. And so we see whatever we are facing right here, right now, the solution is to hear the Lord. And his view is often extremely different to what we are looking at. His view is completely different. Gideon had a certain a view of himself. God's view was, you mighty man of valor. He looked like a coward. He looked like he was on the back foot. He looked like he was losing. I tell you, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It matters what God is saying to you. That is what matters. In our lives and our walk with God, we must hear what the Lord is saying. And his perspective, you know, the Lord sits in thrones and laughs. He isn't stressed on the throne. He is ruling in all power, dominion, authority. All authority belongs to him. And he wants to bring us constantly into this reigning, ruling life. We are here to dominate. We're here to see victory upon victory in very real circumstances. And so, I believe that if we have God's view and God's word, then we will laugh before we see it manifest. Because actually we are supposed to be enjoying the journey. Blessed, not stressed. You know, sometimes if I start to get wound up about something, and the Lord says, I don't know, you've kind of got the wrong perspective. You want to see what I'm seeing. It's looking good. Because the promise speaks of the futures. And so the future's good. I have plans for you, plans for a hope and a future. Good plans. And so, blessing. I really just want to bring something from the Lord about you being blessed. About the blessing of the Lord. And if you turn in your Bibles, let's just look at Proverbs 10, verse 22. I believe one of the most important topics after you're born again is faith. Because you can't read your Bible without it. You can't worship God without it. You can't hear the Lord without faith. You can't receive anything in prayer without faith. You can't lay hands on the sick and see them recover without faith. You can't raise your kids without faith. You can't see a miracle in your marriage without faith. You need faith for a miracle in your body. I reckon we need faith. God has already given us a measure of faith, but we can grow in faith. And we need our faith to grow exceedingly. How about that one? Because the exceedingly growth of faith means a lot more of the supply of the Spirit and the working of miracles. Galatians tells us in chapter 3 that God doesn't work miracles just by kind of observing the law, observing and reading the Bible without faith. But he works miracles, supplies the Spirit to us through the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith, the hearing. Now, right here, right now, your spirit hears the Lord. Your new man hears, can hear what the Spirit is saying, can receive the Word of God. And faith is going to come as we read this scripture together. Amen. Verse 22 of chapter 10 of Proverbs. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and he adds no trouble to it. The blessing of the Lord, another translation says, makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. That's why you'd be laughing right now. To be rich means to be well supplied. It's not just cash, but it includes cash. It's not just things, but it includes things. It's not just health or blessing. Blessing is to affect every dimension of our lives. The richness of salvation, which has been given to us, is to bless the whole person and make us rich. And this word, he adds no sorrow. Actually, another translation says no painful toil. Toil was part of the curse. Toil means sweat. It means having to work for stuff that's not producing. And we read in Galatians chapter 3 that Jesus became a curse for us, that we might receive the blessing of Abraham, that we might actually inherit the blessing. And so God has spoken this word and given us his word about who we are, that his blessing in our lives makes us rich. Now, blessing is not achieved or worked out in our lives without faith. Faith is so important for every aspect of seeing the release of God's power to bring about what he has spoken and even what we've received in our salvation. So God's blessing in our lives is to bring us out of toil and sweat and into this amazing, abundant provision of God through faith. In Genesis 12, you know that when God spoke to Abraham, this is where it all began. He spoke the word, leave your country, get out of your family's house. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to the nations. I will bless you. See, blessing is in the heart of God for people. When God created man, he blessed them. That was the first thing he did. To bless means to empower to prosper. So without God's blessing, we have no power to prosper. But blessing gives us power to prosper, to be in health, to have blessed relationships, to have a blessed soul. A soul that works effectively, that is full of the blessing of God. Your emotions are blessed. I look at some people and I think their emotions are just don't look like they're blessing them. But the power of God's life in us, the blessing of God, has power to change negative emotions and to transform our minds. Peace-filled minds, souls full of peace, full of rest. At rest, my soul finds rest. And I believe the blessing of God empowers us to live in the best. So when God spoke to Abraham, he said, I will bless you with abundant increase of favors. This is the Amplified. I like the Amplified. Abundant increase of favors. God is saying over you today, I will bless you with abundant increase of favors. Now, the blessing of Abraham wasn't just things. It was people. It was people. Increase. Not just of things, but church growth. Amen. To see people in the kingdom. To see the promises of God fulfilled for our nation. The blessing of the Lord empowers us. Thank you, Jesus. So we read, let's just turn to Galatians and we just read this scripture together. Galatians 3:13. Verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who's hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. The greatest blessing, the greatest promise is God Himself, the Holy Spirit. We have received the greatest blessing, the greatest promise, the Holy Spirit. But the blessing of Abraham is kind of defined for us by Scripture. Turn over to Genesis 24. Genesis chapter 24. When God blessed Abraham, He said, I'm going to make you a blessing. And that means we are empowered to dispense good to others. I mean, I love it when we as a church can actually bless people, pay for stuff, and see them affected by the goodness of God, not because they earned it, but because God is good. Amen. And the goodness of God leads people, the kindness of God leads people to repentance. It's great to see the kindness of God through our lives when we are blessed. We can be a blessing and we see the goodness of God dispensed to all the people who don't know Jesus around us. But here we read a definition of blessing. In chapter 24, verse 1, Abraham was now old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. Because he said he would, he did. That's enough for me. He said he would, so he did. You know, when I first got saved, he said he would. And I didn't have much because I gave up everything to follow Jesus. I gave up my house, I gave up my salary, I gave up whatever else was worth anything materially. And I've just kind of noticed that all things are coming. I mean, he's blessing me in all things. And I expect when I'm old and advanced in years, and it's not yet, that I will see that he has blessed me in every way. But you see, we live by faith even when we don't see the blessing because we believe we're blessed. And faith activates the Holy Spirit to bring about the blessing of God in your life. Faith treats as real fact what you don't perceive with your senses. So faith says, I can't see it, I can't touch it, but I am blessed. And we see here Abraham's blessing, which we have received. Because the Bible says it. We have received it. The blessing of Abraham is that he was blessed in all things. Say all things. I think it'll do you good. All things. I'm blessed in all things. God has blessed me. And I will see that manifestation. The blessing of the Lord, not the job, not your income, not your ministry. The blessing of the Lord makes us rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. That's why it's the happiest people are the people of God. The most blessed. And the thing is, he wants to get this blessing to us and through us. But I love it that he wants it to come to us as well as through us. Otherwise, we'd probably end up running on empty. Just if all we did was give. But God blesses us to be a blessing. So the whole person, you know, there's a guy the enemy paid to curse the people of God. His name was Balaam? 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 Balaam. And he was paid to curse the people of God. And God spoke to him and he said, you cannot curse those people because they are blessed. I love that. You just have to read the Bible, you get happy. You cannot curse those people. They are blessed. I mean, isn't that fantastic? The devil can't. I'm blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed for increase of things and people. We're blessed for increase. Not decrease. We're not going back. We're going forward. We're going to inherit. We're going to take ground. We're going to see the manifestation of every word that belongs to us. It is written. We are blessed. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, in Matthew 6, let's just turn there, Matthew 6, 24. I need a run. I've got a lot to say and just need to get through. Matthew 6, thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 6, great, wonderful chapter on really the kingdom living, kingdom life. And in verse 24, it says, no one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So when Abraham heard these words about blessing, he left and obeyed God to go and do what God said. And in obedience, there's blessing. He served God, not money, and just being blessed for money. Now, Jesus says you can't serve God and money. You can't have two masters. You just got to have one master. If Jesus is Lord of your life, you're not living for money. He goes on to say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But in this chapter, Jesus also speaks about the birds of the air. Let's just read verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. So the birds of the air don't carry the weight of their own provision. We were never designed to carry the weight, the toil of our own provision. The lilies don't spin or toil, yet God has arrayed them with greater things than Solomon. And so the kingdom of heaven and the blessing of God will come in our lives as we understand we're not living in the system of the world. The world system is a different system. It's the system of take, selfish system, the system that wants blessing for all the wrong motives. We need to switch systems to the kingdom system. If we follow Jesus, we will live in the kingdom way. Because the kingdom of heaven is set up to succeed. The kingdom of this world, the world system or Babylonian system, some people call it, is set up to fail. The economy of the world is set up to fail. It will fail. It's like the Titanic. Everybody thinks they're okay. But actually, eventually, the ship's going down. But the kingdom of heaven will never go down, cannot be destroyed, has been set up to increase, fill the whole world, and dominate. And so the kingdom of heaven's way is to serve God first. And the way, really, of righteousness, which is to do God's way, to actually come into God's way of living. And one of the principles of God's ways of living is sowing and reaping. It's a foundational principle. Pastor Colin said to me before the meeting, somebody said, your income is determined by your giving. And so that's the kingdom dynamic. And if you're not switching systems and you're just living by what's in your bank account, what you can save, not what you can sow, you can't see the power of the kingdom working in your financial life. So you need to switch over completely to this system. Are you HD ready? Switch over time. Don't live with the world system of finances. Thank you, Jesus. And don't carry the weight of your own provision. Seek first the kingdom of God. Because the blessing of the Lord makes us rich. And he adds no sorrow to it. Now I'm going to finish with Genesis 26. Let's just turn there. Hallelujah. I hope you're getting something from the Lord today. For increase and people. And for wisdom on how to live effectively in the kingdom. We are now in the kingdom. And the kingdom is now in us. And this is how we live. We're not dropping into the world's way 5 days a week when we're at work. We're kingdom people who are seeing the reign of God through his way. Genesis 26. Now, for some time, there was a famine in the land in Genesis 26. We read here about Isaac. There was a famine in the land besides the earlier famine of Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. And the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt. Amen. Because you're getting to debt. I mean, we went down to Egypt. If anybody's ever been down to Egypt, they'll have all you've got and more. But the Lord will bless you if you live by what he says. The Lord is our provider. Don't go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while. I will be with you and I will bless you. Empower you to prosper for increase of things and people. I know some of you are really drinking this in. Some of you are looking at me like, honestly, this is God's word, not mine. I will bless you, God says. Thank you, Jesus. I will bless you. For to you and your descendants I'll give all these lands and will confirm the oath that I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. Amen. absolutely amen, as numerous as the stars in the sky. We'll have that one. We'll take as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Faith, faith, faith. And I'll give you all these lands through your offspring. All nations of the earth will be blessed. Praise God. Because Abraham obeyed me and kept my requirements, my commands, my decrees, and my laws. So Isaac stayed. There he obeyed what God said to him. He did what God told him to do. He stayed in the land. And I believe the place of blessing is where God tells you to be. There is a place you need to be. The Lord is your shepherd. You will not lack. You won't want. Stay where he leads you. So we see here, God speaks to Isaac. Now, the promise given to Abraham, although Abraham imparted the blessing to Isaac in words, because that's one way you can impart blessing, by speaking words. It's wonderful. You can speak blessing over your kids. And it's like the power of God goes, empowers them to prosper. There's things that can be passed on to each other through speaking blessing. We can pass things on into the world we live in by speaking blessing. Amen. But Isaac needed faith for famine. And faith doesn't come by somebody passing it on. It comes from personally hearing God speak to you. It's the same promise God gave to Abraham. He gave to Isaac. He gave to Pastor Colin. He gave to Pastor Clive. It's the same promise to all in Christ. But it has to come personally for us to have faith in the blessing. Not just to know it in our minds, but to actually believe we are blessed. So the Lord said to Isaac, I will bless you. Stay in the land. I will bless you. You're going to have increase. You're going to prosper. And you're going to grow. Because my word will not return empty. It will accomplish what it has been sent to do. It never returns empty. It doesn't return. Famine can end today by hearing the word of the Lord. God said to me, come and preach the end of famine. By hearing. Not because I'm here. But by hearing the Lord say, I will bless you with abundant favors. I will increase you. Don't go to Egypt. Stay in the land and be blessed in the land. You see, faith is the master key that activates everything in the kingdom of heaven. It opens every door. It unlocks the blessing. It's like, you know, I went to the cinema recently and watched Avatar. With those glasses, not these ones, big ones, 3D glasses. I'm not going to comment on that. I thought it was pretty sensational, but I think it's more of a bloke's film. I don't know. Or techno's film, but I did enjoy it. And at the cinema, they have these Coke dispensers, don't they? You go and get a Coke or a Pepsi or something to drink, and you take your cup, and, well, the person who's serving takes the cup, and pushes a lever, and the Coke comes out. You know these kind of, but you got to push the lever for the Coke to come out. I believe we've got to push and act in faith for the blessing to flow. Because you are blessed, But faith receives it. And faith activates the blessing in your life. It actually makes it real and manifest. Rather than just it being a truth, it becomes an experience. Because I know there's Coke in that machine, but it ain't going to come out until somebody pushes that lever. Even if I pay for it, pray for it, speak to it. It's not going to come out until somebody actually puts the cup. And you know, what we want is our cup under, overflowing, so everybody else gets... I like when God speaks to me at the cinema. Anyway, moving on. You see, we can stop because of the senses, because we are held captive in the realm of our experience and not living by faith. We need to walk by faith, not by experience, not by what our body says, what our job says, what our circumstances say, but believing that we are blessed and God is going to bless us in the land. So Isaac hears, he receives his own faith. And even if you this morning need to go a bit further with this message, with this word, go home and receive this word. Pray, meditate on this blessing word. It's simple, but if you get it, it will change your whole life. So Isaac hears, he receives his own faith, and he's in a place of famine. Thank you so much. And in this place of famine, God is saying, I'm going to bless you. It's like a contradiction, isn't it? The situation says famine. God says, I'll bless you. The blessing is designed to work in famine. And by the way, you've already received the blessing in Christ. So what you've got is designed to work in famine. It's exciting, isn't it, to be a Christian? To believe God. It's exciting. Moving on. The law of the kingdom. What is the kingdom's way? Sowing and reaping. So Isaac brought with him in famine. He had some seed. And I know the solution for any famine is seed. That if you've got seed, you can change your future. If you've got the seed of God's word, you can change anything. A farmer knows that if he wants to change and feed his family or feed the community or even feed the nation, he's got to sow seed. And verse 12, we read here, Isaac believed he was going to be blessed. He was blessed by God. And you know, the Jews have it, don't they? They walk around with this righteous attitude of blessing. And so every business they start is blessed because they believe it's going to be. I mean, some people in the world will call it arrogance. I call it faith. They walk around like, I'm going to be blessed. They just walk around, just start, you know, a little business. Don't worry, God will bless it. It just starts small, but don't worry, God will bless it. Because I'm blessed. I'm righteous. God has promised to bless me in the land. So Isaac, verse 12, says he planted, or the New King James says he sowed in the land. So the kingdom works not just by being blessed, but by sowing. So Isaac sowed in the land, and I don't know if you'd like to read this, I would. In the same year, reaped 100-fold. In the same year, it wasn't working for anyone else. Why not? Because the blessing of the Lord was on Isaac. I believe the blessing of the Lord is on the church in this nation. And that we are to be the head and not the tail in the economy. And that we can bless this nation with our faith. We can turn a famine into plenty. By sowing, not spending. Don't spend it. Sow it. Isaac sowed in the land. Seed brings increase. Seed sown brings increase. And sees what God has spoken actually come to pass, the blessing. So blessing isn't just a state. It's something we can believe in, and the Spirit begins to supply blessing. But the blessing is outworked, and the increase comes through sowing. It's the principle of the kingdom. We switch systems when we're born again. We are living in a different economic system. Interest rates don't produce what God can do. The pension fund won't produce what God can do. My job won't produce what God can do. You know, I'd just like to finish with a testimony, because I know that we're running out of time, but just middle of it last year, I go through a Bible reading plan in the mornings, and I was just going through, listening to the Lord, writing down what God was saying to me, and it was about one of the kings, and I can't even remember his name. It's not relevant. It's what God spoke to me that's relevant. And he said to me, that king actually trusted God for many years, but he stopped trusting God, and he depended on other kings to help him in battle. And the Lord said to me, quite so clear, you've stopped trusting me for your income. Well, I just repented. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. There was a time, actually, when I was here and in itinerant ministry. You know, we'd go out and preach, and sometimes you'd be lucky to get a fiver from some of the places we preached. They didn't really believe in sowing for increase. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it is your loss if you don't sow. But it was one of those times where you just had to so depend on God for every bill paid, for my rent, for our kind of car, for travel, everything. We needed to see miracles every month for us to live and do what God says. And of course, if God has spoken it, you've got faith for it, and it just, it's the Coke machine thing. You just act on it. But I'd stopped pushing the lever and started to depend on the salary. And I said, Lord, I'm really sorry. I repent. I just want to wholeheartedly trust you with the blessing that you have designed for my life financially. And I know that I couldn't earn what you want to give me. You know, you don't have to be a big earner to be really blessed. In fact, you don't have to have 20 degrees to get a great job to be blessed. Faith actually sees the blessing released. And honestly, the next day, a check for $3,000 came in the post. Sorry, £3,000. I think that's a good check. Do you know, yesterday I took about 30 million and none of the guys were impressed. You've got great faith here, Clive. I'm like, if I got $3,000 tomorrow, I'd be really happy. Sorry, but you're obviously all millionaires. Right, so. It was coming back to faith that actually released the blessing. We are blessed. And we need to know the Lord delights in the prosperity of his servant, both of you personally and of this church. The Lord delights in prospering this church. He delights in prospering this church. You know, know, if you love somebody, you really enjoy it when you give them something they like. He really enjoys blessing you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Shall we stand together? Thank you, Jesus. The kids are here, so I'm just going to, let's just pray. Father, let's just lift our hands. Father, we thank you that today we stand before you blessed in Christ. And that the blessing of the Lord makes us rich. Just proclaim that. Thank you, Lord, that your blessing makes me rich. And you add no sorrow with it. Amen. Let's confess it. Speak it out of your heart. I am blessed to be a blessing, to see the flow of blessing in and through my life. Thank you for the flow of blessing. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you release the flow through faith here today. And Father, we just speak blessing over our lives, over our families, over our work, over our bank account, over this church's finances. We speak blessing. God will bless us. He will increase us. And we will see the blessing of the Lord in all things. Amen. Let's praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.